is 13 Ways of Looking.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Cascade Media Convergence, a regional gathering of community-based media makers sharing space and skills to build solidarity on November 14th and 15th on the Portland State University campus. There will be skill shares, issue-based strategy sessions, regional breakouts and workshops, as well as movie screenings and a keynote presentation, editors of Octavia's Brood, science fiction stories from social justice movements. Again, that's the Cascade Media Convergence, November 14th and 15th, on the Portland State University campus in downtown Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
President Obama visits a federal prison. There's a call to federal prosecutors to lessen the use of mandatory minimums. There's bipartisan congressional support for reform. Tune in to Prison Pipeline to hear national leader Van Jones, who believes now is the time to end the mass incarceration industry in America. That's Prison Pipeline, November 9th at 6:30 p.m.
And the first one now will later be last, for the times they are a-changin'.
Good morning and welcome to the November edition of Black Book Talk. I'm Patricia Welch, the library lady, and joining us on the phone is
Emma Jackson Ford, bookwoman. Good morning.
Okay, and in just a minute, we're going to hear from our third party, but as he's getting settled, I'm going to say that our guest today is Mrs. Lillian Whitlow. She is the author of a number of books, her latest one being Lift Every Voice and Sing, and she is also the president of the Maya Angelou Writers Guild. Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, and third partner, good morning.
Good morning.
This is a good day. For those of you who are listening, you heard a pretty, I think, historic version of Lift Every Voice and Sing. It's Melba Moore and a wide range of artists, everybody from Stevie Wonder to Anita Baker to Dionne Warwick and many, many others. If you haven't heard it in its entirety, I would really recommend that you go to YouTube or wherever and just put in Lift Every Voice and Sing, Melba Moore. It is a beautiful rendition of a beautiful song. So thank you for titling your book that way and giving us the opportunity to hear that lovely song. So tell us a little bit about your book. And of course, we're going to want to know something about you, but you've done several books.
Yes, my first book was Manny. It was about a goose and a cat. Okay. And that was in 2003. And so from there on, after Manny was Brick City, and that was published in 2007. Mm-hmm. And both of those were nonfiction. My nonfiction was A Soldier Without a Country, and that was in 2010. Yeah. Seems like I'm writing one every 3 or 4 years.
Right.
So this one is not Lift Every Voice and Sing. Okay. It's Lift Every Voice.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, Lift Every Voice and Sing is what is best known as the Black National
right.
Anthem.
Right. Okay. I took it from that, but it's not about music. It's about everything. I have 70 some odd characters in here, starting with Maren Anderson. And I wrote all this, most of it, a few years ago. But when Maya Angelou died, I couldn't leave her out. So I wrote her story and inserted it right behind Maren Anderson, which she's number 2. Okay. Because she is the reason why we have Maya Angelou's Writers Guild.
Well, I tell you what, I don't know if you want to do it now or later, but certainly we want people to know about the Maya Angelou Writers Guild. As a matter of fact, that's an interesting story. I haven't heard the whole thing, but could you tell us a little bit about it? And I know, let me see, both OB and Emma, you are both members of the Writers Guild?
Oh, that is correct.
Absolutely.
So you tell us about this, because a lot of people don't know and we need to know about this.
Emma and OB came in after we organized. April of 1997, Maya Angelou came to Portland to speak, and she used to come every year until she got, she was on the speaking tour, and she stayed at Heatman Hotel. Her best friend was Steve McPherson, who was my friend as well as some of the other friends, so he said, "Well, Lee, Maya Angelou will be here, so let's give her a reception." I said, "Really? We're going to give Maya Angelou a reception?" He said, "Yeah, we give her a reception." See, I've known her for years. She was one of his best friends. They knew each other many years ago before she got famous.
Okay.
So we got our little treats out and...
What did you have, your little treats?
Very little cookies and the punch and cheese and crackers and stuff, and invited about 10 people. So we sat there waiting patiently for her to come, because this was before she was to speak. So we sat there waiting, and we all were sitting in the chair waiting, just almost trembling. And she opened the door, and she has an aura about her that... it just would take your breath away. She opened the door. She was 6'6", I believe. She's a very tall lady. We instantly stood. Not one by one, we just got up. So she had us to sit around in a circle. She likes circles because she wants to see everybody and everybody see her. And she talked to us, and she said, "What you need to do is get together a small group and read to each other." So we thought that was a pretty good idea. And we did, and we let her know, and we named it after her. And we called her to get her permission first. And she was so happy about it.
Oh my gosh.
So since then, we only have about 3 originals. Others dropped out, but we have OB and Emma and Denoja and
Price.
Mm-hmm.
John Wolf.
Yes, but John Wolf was a original, wasn't he?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yes.
John Wolf, Mario DePriest, and myself.
All right.
So we have about 8. We have. It's not always black. We have 2 Caucasians, and we just work beautifully together. So it's not just a black group. We take anyone who wants to come and join us. We try to keep the group small. But that's it.
Tell me, are you going to be participating in this Wordstock that's coming up this weekend?
It starts on Saturday,
I believe.
I don't think so.
Okay, it's at the Art Museum, so I think everybody should know at least that that's going on.
I got it on my computer yesterday, and I didn't completely read it because I had so much other stuff to take care of.
Yeah, a wonderful mix of authors. I think, you know, this is something we can talk about at the end because I've printed out some material about it. Our author from last month, Robin Koss-Lewis, is one of the people who's going to be featured, but we'll do this after we finish talking to you. But yeah, thank you for mentioning that. Emma, are you out there?
I'm out here. Good morning. I want to hear you read about one of the people you wrote about in the book.
Okay.
I know you wrote about Michael Jackson. I remember the day you were telling us about it.
I started out with Maren Anderson, and then and Dr. Maya Angelou, and Louis Armstrong, Arthur Ashe. Now, I tried to get some of everything, and I also mentioned in here that this is just a small group of blacks who have left their legacy. Not all of them. I think I'm going to do another book, book number two. Pearl Bailey. Josephine Baker. I think she was the one who would have, I think she had some kind of animal with her.
Yes. I don't know what it was.
And the audience were afraid because it might get her loose.
It was like a tiger or a lynx or something, and with a jeweled collar.
Yes.
She was all about drama.
And she was drama. And James Brown.
Oh.
I wrote about him.
Is Nina Simone in there?
Who? Nina is she still? Everybody has to be dead in here.
She has left us.
Oh, really?
Well, that's okay. Now she's for your next book. I was just thinking when you mentioned. When you mentioned.
And then
Justin
some
Baker.
Said, "Well, how did you get all those people?" I said, "Well, I thought of some." Then when others knew what I was doing, they would say, "Well, did you get such and such a person? Did you get some? You got to get this person. You got to get that." And that's how I got them.
Okay.
Really, I started out with 83.
What happened?
And I wanted to cut the book down. I put those in the other book.
Okay.
Also, George Washington Carver.
Man with the peanuts.
A fascinating man.
Yes. Back in the early 30s and 40s, he was helping farmers. People used to farm a lot. And they would have crops that sometimes the boll weevils or other things would eat them, to eat the crops. So he developed a system where they could grow something like peanuts that would grow in most things, soil. Also wrote about Cap Calloway.
Musical legend.
Nat King Cole. And, you know, he and his daughter, he sang, what was his the song that they did together after he died.
Right.
Unforgettable.
Yes.
Unforgettable.
And she took that and did her part with it. I think she did the alto part or second part.
Yeah, her voice. She did an overlay.
Yeah.
Yeah, of him singing.
Right.
And she overlaid her voice. And there was a video of it, too.
Right. It's beautiful.
Yes.
And the Cotton Club. That's not a person, but the Cotton Club in New York, I wrote about that.
It was a personality.
Right. And at that time, they would invite black authors, musicians like Cap Calloway and Duke Ellington, but black people could not, African Americans couldn't attend. But soon that broke down where it was open to everybody. Sammy Davis had a very interesting story because he had a Cuban mother and an African American father.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
His mother was Cuban.
Okay.
And the mother and father either separated, I don't know if they were together or not, but he and his brother took this son, and he would travel with his uncle and his father. And he knew nothing about prejudice, because they would tell him that anyone who treats you like that, they're jealous of you. So he had to find out the hard way by what prejudice was, because they had told him that there was no such thing as being prejudiced, that people who treat you like that, they're jealous of you. And so
that allowed him to be very confident, I would think.
And he developed his skills, because he could get by with it, you know.
He was truly a Renaissance entertainer. Mm-hmm. He did everything, sing, dance. He placed no limits on himself.
Right. And also, when he loved his voice so well, and they wanted to operate on his throat because he had cancer. And he said, if he loses his voice, that's it. So he kept his voice, but he lost his life. Dorothy Dandridge, mm-hmm. Bo Diddley.
Oh. Early rock and roll.
Right.
Should have been an idol, because so many people who were rock and roll idols mm-hmm. were basing their career on his music.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's see, Duke Ellington, Ella Fitzgerald, John Hope Franklin. I talk about him. Alex Haley.
A historian.
Yeah. What about Alex Haley? Roots?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So are you going to read from a passage from one of these, just a little bit, as Emma had asked?
Okay, let's see. Ethel Waters, remember her?
Mm-hmm.
Turn right to it. I didn't, but I turned to Rosa Parks. What about Rosa?
That's
Rosa?
Fine.
So maybe that's what I was supposed to do.
I always think that.
She was
very appropriate.
Rosa Louise McCauley Parks was born February the 4th, 1913, in Tuskegee, Alabama. She was an African-American civil rights activist whom the United States Congress later called mother of the modern-day civil rights movement. Parks was born to James McCauley, a carpenter, and Leona Edwards, a teacher. Rosa was of African Cherokee Creek and Scottish Irish ancestry. Her great-grandfather was a Scottish Irishman. Rosa was small, even for a child, and she suffered poor health and had chronic tonsillitis. When her parents separated, she moved with her mother to Pine Level, just outside of Montgomery, Alabama. There she grew up on a farm with her maternal grandparents, mother and younger brother, Sylvester, and began her lifelong membership in the African Methodist Episcopal Church. She was homeschooled by her mother until she was 11. Then she enrolled at the Industrial School for Girls in Montgomery, where she took academic and vocational courses. Rosa then went on to laboratory school set up by the Alabama State Teacher College for Negroes for secondary education, but was forced to drop out to care for her grandmother and later for her mother after they became ill. Alabama was under Jim Crow laws, so blacks and white people were separated in virtually every aspect of daily life in the South, including public transportation. Bus and train companies did not provide separate vehicles for the different races, but did enforce seating policies that allocated separate sections for blacks and whites. School bus transportation was unavailable in any form for black school children in the South. Parks recalled going to elementary school in Pine Level, where school buses took white students to their new schools, and black students had to walk to theirs. I see the bus pass every day, but to me, that was a way of life. We had no choice. but to accept what was the custom. The bus was among the first ways I realized there was a black world and a white world.
I'm curious. I know that you have a lot of entertainers, a lot of writers, but how did you make, I mean, I'm sure lots of people made suggestions. How did you make the decision in terms of, you know, still who you wanted in, not just who was recognized?
You know, I think about that sometimes myself, and I don't, but when I have, I can't sleep at night, I do a lot of singing. Okay. And that's my best way of getting things when I don't like for my mind to be empty. Mm-hmm. So I began to create things like that, and I think I said, well, who can I get who invented something? And then I get on the internet and look, that's the best resource we have. And that's how I got it.
How did you go about publishing your book or finding a publisher?
I self-published this, and I self-published it through a company called Ex Libris. And it's spelled X-L-I-B-R-I-S. I didn't know who they were, but they appeared on my computer.
Well known and well respected.
And do you know them?
Yes, absolutely.
Do they help with the editing process, or how do you go about that?
They do. I like to read to you when you self-publish. It is reviewed, it can be reviewed by reviewers, mm-hmm. professional reviewers, and I like to read one portion of what Blue Ink wrote about my book. Lift Every Voice might have been titled Heroes of African American History, since that is essentially what it is. A collection of brief profiles of notable African Americans from the 19th and 20th century. The title is taken from James Weldon Johnson, a black national anthem, Johnson Black National Anthem, that is included in the book. Each sketch runs between 2 and 12 pages, allowing us to glean such information as Harriet Tubman, nicknamed Minty, and the nature of her relationship with the abolitionist John Brown, while offering a overview of the times in which the subjects lived.
Okay.
I'm having a little hard time with your lighting here, but
down.
And they would give all the good stuff, and then they would tell you what's lacking. That's being taken care of now. There were some typos from the typesetter, so that's being taken care of.
So they provide an editor mm-hmm. for you. Mm-hmm. That's great.
They don't provide they just tell you what happened, the good stuff and the bad stuff. They don't do anything for you. They just tell you what's wrong and what's right.
Well, is there a minimum amount of books that you have to order at when you self-publish that way, or how do you go about your distribution network?
I didn't take them on at first because I didn't know anything about them, and they kept on pursuing me, and I don't know how they knew what I was doing, but they're out there, and they know what you're doing. If you put your name on there about anything, they got you. So,
because, yeah, you've self-published before.
No, I didn't.
You haven't?
No. This is my first one.
I felt like we interviewed you for your very first book.
That was a long time ago. That was Published America.
Right, and that's a self-publishing company. Mm-hmm.
Right, I guess so.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. Okay. Emma, I always feel like if you're on the phone and we don't have that eye contact with you, that you might not be getting your share of time. So, is anything you wanted to say before Obi and I just jump in again?
Well, I wanted to say that since I have been hearing about her book all along, that I am just so proud of her because I've watched her progress from her first book until now, that she's a great writer, and I'm so glad she's doing this, leaving us more history.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you.
So you shared this book with the Writers Guild. Mm-hmm. Ah, okay. And they give their input.
Oh, yeah. That's what we do. We don't call ourselves critiquing each other because we don't do that. But we tell you what we think that you could do better. I had a young lady from Dallas, Texas. She had one of my books, had this book. And she called me. Well, I knew her when she was just a baby, a kid. And she knew me when I was a teenager growing up. So she had written a book, and she shared part of hers with me. One thing we know as writers, you get rid of all the ING words. So that's what I advised her to do, because she had a lot of those. And we give each other little tips, you know, that we know and have heard.
How, if someone wanted to join the guild, can they just come and say, I want to join, or are there criteria to be a member?
We have to hear them and hear what they are writing, and, mm-hmm. and then after that we come together. And how do we do that? They have to be friends and people who are friendly and okay. get along with the group.
Okay. So... we shouldn't say calling all friendly people. Friendly writers.
We're not soliciting any new members.
Okay, good. No, really, though, that's good to know.
Okay.
Because, you know, Portland has more authors and authors to be per square foot than many other places in this country. So, no, that's good to know.
Instead of trying to get in a whole group, just create another group, you know. Have no more than 8 or 10 in a group, because get too many, you can't do anything.
There was a group called the Northwest African American Writers.
Right, that was what.
Did they still exist?
No, that was with Joseph Franklin.
Exactly.
Joseph is in a nursing home.
Oh, okay.
He has Parkinson's.
Oh.
So I'm sorry. He's been down since 2009.
Well, but then there's the opportunity. If there's someone out there who likes what they hear in terms of the kind of support that your group gives, mm-hmm. I guess any writer's group gives, then this might be the time to, you know, open the doors and establish their own.
Yeah, I think if there are a lot of people who write. But now when we first started, we met it in my house in the basement, and we met twice a month. And they would come and just eat a big meal. I would cook. We would have a full course meal, and they all we did was eat. So I would suggest that if you have a group, don't spend your time eating.
4 minutes. Okay. Well, but that feels cohesiveness. Yeah, I've heard that you all are a very social group. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, we like to have a nice time.
That's right. That builds cohesiveness. It is so nice to have you here today. Should we be looking forward to a return visit with either the next installment of this one or something totally new?
Well, I'm doing 2 or 3. I can hardly do one thing at a time. Usually it takes me, I have to do 2 or 3 things at a time. I'm doing my history of my family. Okay. And then I want to do a second book of this. And then I have another book.
Well, all I can say is we are very, very happy and honored to have you here today on Black Book Talk. February is coming up, and are you going to be making some presentations during that particular time?
We're planning on having our first, well, OB, I think you know about this too. And we want to have it at June Key Delta House.
A beautiful location.
Yeah. And we want to have a jazz pianist. His name is David Arnett mm-hmm. Cherry. Mm-hmm. Well known in Portland. Mm-hmm. And Mary is going to be the vocalist. But we want a lady from Salem. Her name is Kimberly Howard. To perform for us. I haven't heard from her, but if we can't get her, we'll try to find someone else. And we're just going to have a nice time.
Good. Yeah, that's That's what I've heard that you all do. Well, I hope you all will continue to have a good time. I hope that, you know, everybody in the group is at least half as prolific as you are. And I just thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.
Okay, you know, there are a lot of things happening this weekend. As OB mentioned, Woodstock is this weekend, and I just want to mention some of the folks who are going to be there. A lot of people know Wendell Pierce as an actor. He played Bunk in The Wire. He played in, I think he was in, Treme? I think he was in it, but wait a minute, let me be accurate about what he is. He certainly, he was in Selma, Ray, Waiting to Exhale. That's where a lot of us met him. But in addition to, he's also the host of the Peabody Award-winning radio program Jazz at the Lincoln Center. He is also a New Orleans native, speaks about his city many, many, many times. And he is here talking about his latest book, and I am embarrassed to admit that I printed this out, and now it's so faint that I can't read it. But Wendell Pierce is an author. He is here. So if you enjoyed him in any of his other roles, then you need to see him. Also, as I said, Robin Cost Lewis, who was our guest last month, talking about Voyage of the Sable Venus, is going to be there. Our own Taria, Taria Austin will be there, and a host of others. So that's something worth doing. Also, the amazing Nina Simone, a film about the high priestess of jazz, will be opening at the Clinton Theater, I think, the weekend of November 18th. And I have just finished reading a book called Princess Wire, which is about her. And the North Portland Book Club is going to be discussing that book this Tuesday, November 10th at 6 o'clock. So if you want to discuss the book and then go and see the film, this is an absolutely amazing woman, and I want you to include her in your next book.
I will do that.
Okay. Ms. Whitlow, thank you for joining us, and to everybody, farewell until next month.
Well, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And now the KBOO News at noon for Thursday, November 5th, 2015. I'm John Shuck.